Good morning, church family. It's great to see you here today. It's a beautiful day outside that we get to join together. Just as you saw there in the video, we want to remind you guys that today is kind of our kickoff day again for small groups, so we know that several will be meeting either this afternoon or this evening. If you have not yet signed up for one of those, there are still several out there on the table that you can see that are available to sign up for. Or again, if you don't see a group that you want to join and you have more questions about those, please come and see myself or David or one of the elders. Or maybe you even have a group that you would like to lead, that you'd like to be a part of. We encourage you to help us to grow our small groups ministry that we have here. One of the great things that we have about today kind of being this kickoff time isn't that everybody has to meet today, but we're asking that you guys go ahead and make that commitment to be a part of one of those small groups. So maybe today is a good day to talk to some people, ask some questions, maybe even try a small group out if you know where they're going to be meeting. But it's a great way that we have for our family here, the larger family, to do life together and to get better connected. So if you can, make sure you get involved with one of those small groups. And again, check out the table that's in the foyer that has the information for those. I want to remind everybody, now you guys are kind of on the tail end of this, but in case you have people that are asking, this is our updated schedule still for first service at 8:30, Bible classes 9:45, and then 10:45 for our second service. So thank you for being here this morning. Hopefully most of you were able to make it to class today and getting plugged into those as we got those started again just a few weeks ago. I want to remind everybody, we have started our Wednesday night youth program again. We have named this Revive. So on Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 7:30, the youth group is over in the Family Center for a time during the week to hang out, play games, play and pray together. And this is a great chance we have just to kind of kick back during the week and to keep ourselves going. And I think that's one of those things that we all kind of need. We do have some things going on here in the building. It's 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights. There's an adult class in here and also a singing class available in room 109 at 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights. So if you want to, you can join those and be a part of those. With the children's ministry, we also have some online resources that we're encouraging our families to be a part of there. So you can just go onto the website or the church Facebook page, and you can find those things there. If you have questions about any of that, come and see me, and we'll get you clued in with that information. Going along with the small groups today, I want to remind our youth groups, so our 6th through 12th graders, that today our small group time, which is a very large group, we're meeting right after this service across the street in the Family Center for our fiesta lunch. Wherever Aaron's at, I'm not gonna make the noises I was making for the fiesta stuff earlier in class with just the kids, but if you want to come and be a part of that and you didn't get to contact me, that's fine. Come on over, and we're going to have a meal together, and we'll also have some time to spend together in devotional as well as play some games. So right after second service concludes, we'll have our youth group time across the street in the Family Center. I want to mention one other thing. Congratulations to the Stephenville Honeybees, the girls' basketball team. They are the district champions, so we are very proud of them. We've got a couple of girls that are on that team. They'll be in the playoffs next Thursday, I believe, with that. So a great chance we have to celebrate in the community and the things that we have that are going on here. This morning, as we get started with our worship, we're going to be in Psalm 72. So Psalm 72, verses 18 and 19. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Let's pray together to start our time. Father, we are so grateful for the glorious things that you do. Father, just as we read, we know that you are God, and that you are God who is active, and that you are a God who is in this world that you created. Father, today we have this opportunity to be joined together, to sing out and to worship you. Father, may this be a time that we get to uplift and encourage one another as we celebrate the opportunity that we have for eternal life with you. Father, we know that this is a hurting world right now, and Father, we ask that you continue to use us in the ways that you can to reach out to this community and beyond. Father, we thank you for the grace and mercy that you show to us and the love that guides us each and every day. Father, help us to share those things with each and every person that we come in contact with so that they too might know you. Hear us now as we sing out to you, Father. We love you, and we thank you for being our God and for calling us your children. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Let's all be standing as we sing these first two songs back to back. Here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands to you. Here we are praising Jesus for the things he's brought us through. Father God, just for today, help me walk your narrow way. Help me stand when I could fall. Give me the strength to hear your call. May my steps be your worship. May my thoughts be praise. May my word bring honor to your name. May my steps be your worship. May my thoughts be praise. May my word bring honor to your name. Here I am just for today. Live in me and have your way. For my dear, when this race is run, is only to hear you say, well done. May my steps be worship. May my thoughts be praise. May my words bring honor to your name. May my steps be worship. May my thoughts be praise. May my words bring honor to your name.
Please be seated.
His grace reaches me. Deeper than the ocean and wider is the sea, is the grace of the Savior for sinners like me. Sent from the Father, and it thrilled my soul just to feel and to know that his blood makes me whole. His grace reaches me, yes, his grace reaches me. And will last through eternity. Now I'm under his control, and I'm happy in my soul just to know that his grace reaches me. Higher than the mountains and brighter sins were as scarlet, he has washed them away. His grace reaches me, yes, his grace reaches me, and will last through eternity. Now I'm under his control, and I'm happy in my soul, just to know that his grace reaches me. Well, I don't know if I pitched that too high or I just don't have that range anymore, but it doesn't matter. It's beautiful. If for the stripes we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore, home of the soul, blessed kingdom of light, free from all care, and where falleth no night. Oft in the storm we are sighing for thee, beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea. Yes, a sweet rest is remaining for the true children of God. Better there'll be no complaining, never a chastening rod. Home of the soul, blessed kingdom of light, free from all care, and where falleth no night. Oft in the storm we are sighing for thee, beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea. Soon a grand lesson remaining, we shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning, trust till the night is gone. Home of the soul, blessed kingdom of light, free from all care, and where falleth no night. Oft in the storm we are sighing for thee, beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea. Cheers.
Thanks, Doug. Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. I'm going to start the sermon a little differently this morning. I know probably most of you have heard the word that Sherilyn Savine died this past week. And I think it would be appropriate for us to just spend a few moments to think about her. The memorial service for her will be later when it's safer and we can all get together, and so the family will let us know when that will happen. So I wanted just to take a moment, because I know there are many in the congregation that were very close to her, and we all knew her. She's a very special part of our family. So just so you know, Tuesday morning, she passed from this life to her heavenly home. She had been undergoing treatment for a blood disorder, basically a cancer, that she would go to Little Rock, University of Arkansas Medical Center, to receive a special treatment for the illness that she had, which involved chemo and stem cell treatment. It's very difficult on her body, and of course, the more fragile she became, the more difficult that treatment was. So it was a dangerous procedure to begin with. But then in the process, both Sherilyn and Doug contracted COVID, and that of course increased her odds of not surviving the treatment, and she passed away. It's a very difficult time for the family, obviously, because they couldn't be in the hospital with her, and Doug was in isolation and so forth. So it's been tough, and Doug will be back soon, but he's going through a lot. So I wanted to share with you something that Doug shared with me that I think is just a wonderful tribute to Sherilyn, and I think it's also a tribute to Doug and their relationship. So I'm going to just read it to you, and we'll have a prayer for the family. Doug wrote, "Sherilyn was a very good person. Everyone loved her. I was fortunate for 6 months engagement plus 46 years, 6 months, 5 days of marriage. I'm a much better person because of her, but there are hundreds of others that could say the same thing. To hundreds, she was known as Miss Sherilyn for cradle roll and Bible hour, probably 35 years of it, not counting all of the little old couples that she saved financially, or the couples having marriage issues over finances that she worked a system for them and things got better. Are the hundreds of people getting Meals on Wheels over the past 27 years, where she served both as treasurer for life and the deliverer of meals? Are the ministers who poorly planned their finances and she rescued them from creating a path and created a path for them to go forward? Are the dozens of friends and family in financial difficulty that she bailed out? Are the neighbors she befriended with personally made gifts? I could go on and on. Are just the thousands of accounting clients that truly trusted her totally, in all caps. One attorney in town told me that after his mother died, I tried for years to convince my mother how to set up her estate, and she always said, 'I only listen to Sherilyn. I suggest you do the same.' When the will was probated and there was no tax liability, soon afterwards he went to Sherilyn and revised his estate plan. She never lost a case in court. She never lost an IRS audit. Attorneys feared cases that she was the CPA on the other side of the suit. Her clients ranged from little widows with only Social Security to individuals with thousands of employees in 5 continents. She was an amazing person. The most important things were, 1, she loved the Lord. 2, she loved her family. And 3, she was a servant who served the kingdom. All looked up to her because in their eyes, she was already floating toward heaven." Would you bow with me, please? Father, we just want to take a moment to thank you for Sherilyn, for Doug, for their family. We thank you for the wonderful example that she set before us, for the example of serving all people of whatever opportunity she had to serve, whether they were young or old, poor or rich, whether they were people who were in obvious need or whether they were people in need that kept it a secret. She loved all and all loved her. And we were blessed to have known her. And we're still blessed. Her continuous work among us lives on. Even though she will not be here with us, we'll remember the value that she has given to so many lives and so many ministries. We would ask for your blessing on the family as they recover from this terrible loss. We pray, Father, that you'll be with them as they grieve together. And we ask for a blessing on those who were closely tied to their family, who are also in grief, and they need our compassion and love as well. We ask, Father, for your blessing on us as we consider how we can serve this family, that you might help us to know ways that we can benefit and give them their space and give them the opportunity to have their time of grief, but at the same time to let them know that we love them and we want to help in whatever way we can. We ask, Father, as we think about this situation, it reminds us of so many others where there is sadness and grief, and COVID has just made it more complicated. It doesn't lessen our desire to try to be a helping hand, but we're struggling with how to do that in the present environment. And we ask, Father, that you give us wisdom. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that moment. I appreciate that very much. We're at a special time in this congregation. We need to be very careful about how we do what we do. We need to be careful about getting overconfident in what we enjoy doing. The virus is still very serious and is still having quite a toll on people all over the world. So we're going to be vigilant in trying to ask those questions that we need to ask about how we do things. And I want you to be understanding of our elders and patient with them as they try to make the right decisions for us. We're all eager to move forward. We're all eager to get back together, all together. We'd love to pack this place and help Doug, you know, when he gets a little high on something. We'll just sing right with him because we'll have enough people to do it, you know. And we look forward to that. We want to be back together, but we also have to be very careful. And I think it's a tough spot for our elders to be in knowing when to do what. But we are in the process of restarting, if you want to call it that. And it's a special time for us. We're excited about it. Restarting our small groups. Like Wes was saying earlier, we know that that does not mean that you're all going to jump out into a small group and start meeting. For some of you, you do not need to be meeting. You're at high risk, and the worst thing you can do is meet with a group of people in a small room sharing a meal together. That would not be wise. But there are others that are maybe at less risk who feel comfortable in that. And we don't want to discourage that because it's something that we need. Some of our small group meetings will continue virtually. And there are two small groups that I will be working with. And if you want to be a part of it, you can contact me about it. One we call the Bigger C Encouragers. It's dealing with, originally it was for cancer support, but we've expanded it to dealing with any kind of crisis. But for the time being, at least, it will continue to be virtual because the people involved in it are often at highest risk. But we would love to have others join. And if you want to do that, let me know. And the other is what we have called in the past is our CST, Communication Support Team. And we're regrouping and restarting. And we'd like to have some people involved in that. But again, we'll do that virtually. And I'd love for you to be a part of that. So let me know. But what we want you to do is commit to the philosophy, if you will, of small groups. Because going forward, we need our small groups to be able to be what we need to be as a church. We can't do it all in an auditorium assembly. And we want to keep those small groups as a place where people can be able to share with each other what they need to give the support and the strength that they need, to be able to take God's word and apply it directly to their lives. So I'll be preaching a series of lessons from the book of Nehemiah and Ezra. And Ezra had the responsibility of helping rebuild the temple and restore temple worship. And there was a restart that took place there. Nehemiah went back to rebuild the walls of the city and help the city of Jerusalem be restored. So there was a restart there. And we're going to study Ezra and Nehemiah from the standpoint of what principles did we find in those two books that apply to our restart in the things that we need to restart as a church. And in doing that, I'll preach on the first and the third Sundays of the month from Ezra and Nehemiah. And I'll deal with some principles that we take from that book, and you can take it to your small groups and you can apply it and discuss it. On the second and fourth Sundays, I will do a follow-up on those sermons that apply directly to the church from the New Testament. And you can kind of compare your notes and see how your small group matched with some of the things that I preach about on that following week. One of the passages that I love out of the Old Testament, and you've used it, whether you realized where it came from or not, is from Esther. And Esther is in basically the same time period that we're talking about in Ezra and Nehemiah. It's dealing with the period of the captivity. And Esther became a queen, a Persian queen. And of course, she heard about the danger to the Jewish people. And she was telling Mordecai about that danger. And Mordecai was saying to her that you don't know but what God has put you in this very position as queen for such a time as this. And that's a striking statement. Based on that statement, she had the courage to go and do what she needed to do to save the people of Israel. But the point that Mordecai was making to her is something that all of us need to hear. And this church needs to hear. We need to consider such a time as this. God is still in control, and God is still doing what God needs to do to try to bring about his plan. We may not understand how in the world any of this can fit into God's plan. But I assure you that God is using it in his own way to bring about what he wants to bring about in the world. There are people who will come to know God because of what we're going through. And we'll either join God in doing it, or we'll not pay attention to where we need to join God and we'll be left out. I think as a church, we need to be very, very serious about figuring out how in the world we join God in this to be what we need to be. And our restart plan, whatever we do to restart, we need to evaluate what we do very carefully. The three things we're going to focus on this morning are we need to, in our restarting, we need to consider how we can serve God and be God's time with God's authority, and we want to do it in such a way that we honor God with what we do. So this first point I'm going to give you this morning, and let's read from Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 following. If you have your Bibles, you may want to look at this passage with me. You may not have noticed this, so read it with me. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah about be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom. And he also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. And he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. And let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Now, isn't this incredible? The king of Persia is saying this. The king of Persia is making this command. He's putting it in writing. And his thinking is, I'm not going to hold these people captive any longer. They're not going to be my slaves anymore. I'm going to set them free, and I'm going to send them back to their homeland, and I'm going to let them build a temple for their God, because I want their God to be favorable to me. That's incredible. That never happened before. This never happened in history where people are saying, they have these slaves, they have their slave labor, and they're saying, no, you go back and build a temple to your God. I don't want you as my slaves anymore. Honor your God. That's incredible. But the thing that's amazing to me about this is it says that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. This was God's timing. This was God's timetable. Jeremiah, back in Jeremiah 29:10, had made this prophecy that after 70 years of captivity, the people would be allowed to go back home. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, Daniel is researching the prophet's writing, and he comes across this statement of Jeremiah from Jeremiah 29:10, and he realizes that after 70 years of captivity, the people will be able to be freed from captivity and go back to Jerusalem and be free to build the temple of the Lord. He understands the prophecy. And so, picking up on that, when this opportunity comes, they know that this is not just Cyrus being generous. This is God's timing. This is God's plan. And then if you jump over to the book of Nehemiah, when the time came to get a chance to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, the way that came about was the report got back to the new king. And Nehemiah was hearing about how things were going in Jerusalem and that the temple had been built and they had been restoring the worship of God in the temple, but the rest of the city was in rubble. It was still a mess there. Even the walls of the city were still torn down. So you couldn't begin to restore the city until things were safe and you were able to establish the economy there. And it touched Nehemiah's heart so much that the king that he was serving as the cupbearer said, "What's wrong with you? You never act like this around me." And he finally told him what was happening in his homeland. And he prayed to God that God would give him the wisdom and the courage to speak to the king about it. And when he tells the king about it, the king said that not only could he go back to help rebuild the city of Jerusalem, that he would send supplies and a guard, a whole military guard, to escort him back. Again, it's not because the king is so great and so nice. It's because God made it happen. It was God's timing. I believe as we consider what we're going to do in our future, whatever we consider doing, we need to consider God's timing. It needs to be right in God's timing. I believe we need to consider the most vulnerable among us, and we need to be careful. We need to mask when we're out here in the lobby, standing around, visiting with one another, because we don't know who around us might get this dreaded virus, and it could kill them. We need to be careful. We need to do what we can to try to keep each other safe. We need to be considerate of each other. That's our time calls for that. We are not through this yet. We need to consider things like that, but more than anything, we need to consider God's timing too. When God opens the opportunity for us to use this situation as an opportunity to reach people, to help people to come to know the Lord better, to help us be the church that we need to be. When we see God's timing at work in this, we need to be ready to move. We probably have waited on some things so long that we've not paid attention to how we might make them better for the future. We need to stop that. We need to be aware of what we can do to improve. We need to work on our worship. We need to work on our leadership. We need to work on our small group leaders. We need to do whatever we can do during this period of transition so that when we start back with something, we do it better than what we were doing before. We're not just starting back so that we go through the motions. We're not just trying to say, okay, will it be great when we get back together and we get back to normal? Well, maybe we don't need to be back to normal. Maybe we need to do better than normal. Our worship needs to be better than it's ever been. We need to be praying more than we've ever prayed before. We need to have more outstanding small groups than we've ever had before. Our contribution should be greater than it's been. Let's don't go back to normal. Let's do better than what we were doing before. When we start back, let's do it better. And what we can't start back with on now, let's figure out how when we go back to doing it, we'll be doing better than what we were doing before. Let's use God's opportunity, God's timing, to the best of our ability to make it the best it can be. Secondly, we need to do it with God's authority. What really stands out to me when I search these scriptures is that even though they're they realize this is God's doing. This is God's timing. They know they have God's blessing on this. But they're still very careful about doing it with God's authority. There are scriptures which say over and over again that they're doing it as written in the law of Moses, or according to the command of God. Look for it as you read through Ezra and Nehemiah. They didn't just go back to doing it in whatever way they wanted to do it. You know, when they get back to Jerusalem and they're going to build the temple and they're going to restore the priesthood, they're going to restore the altar, and they're going to set up the Holy of Holies and all that. They didn't say, hey, you know what? This was here for a long time. And, you know, there's modern things that will work better now than what it did then. There are things that we can improve, you know. We can change this up a little bit. Why don't we change how we do the sacrifices? And why don't we change who can be a priest? And why don't we... They didn't do that. They consulted God's word and they said, what is it that God commanded that we do? What is God's authority on this? And as we start back, we need to not get so caught up in the idea that we're doing what we want to do that we forget there are certain things that God said we need to do, and there are certain things that God said we shouldn't do. And we need to listen to God's authority. Just because we're doing something that we think is for God doesn't mean that we can misstep and do things wrong that God wouldn't bless. It needs to be God's timing, it needs to be God's authority, but it also needs to be God's power. There's a place, as you consider doing something great, where you need to consider what you can do reasonably. But there's also a place where you consider what you can do that will stretch your faith. This idea of leaving where they were in the Persian Empire and going back to Jerusalem, which is no short journey, and rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the city of Jerusalem was no small feat. I'm sure it had to cross the minds of a few people back in Persia that said, you know what, if the king would just let me not be a slave anymore, I'd be just fine living right here. I bet they could have worked out some kind of deal, you know. They said, hey, you know, maybe, you know, if I go back to Jerusalem, it's going to take a lot of work. That's going to be a hard thing. That journey is dangerous. If we go back and we start being an independent city again, we're going to have to deal with all kinds of people that are coming in trying to raid our city and raid our riches and all that. We'll have to protect ourselves again, and we'll have to have military forces and all that sort of thing. I think I'll just stay right here where it's safe. It was a stretch of faith to do what they were doing, and they knew the way that they would be successful was through the power of God. To begin with, the power of God was demonstrated in the fact that he put it on the heart of the king to let them do it. This would never have happened. Cyrus and Artaxerxes would have never let this happen if God had not put it on his heart, on their hearts, to do this. And there's this expression you'll find a few times in both books of the good hand of my God was upon me. It was through the power of God that they were able to do what they were doing. They were able to be successful. God will give us success. The power of the success did not come just from human ability. And brothers and sisters, as we start back, we've got to stretch ourselves to not just depend on our wisdom and how to do it. We should not depend on just our ability to do things. We need to rethink and think again how we can depend on stretching ourselves to depend on God. We need God's power doing this. We need to brag about what God is doing. Not bragging about what we're doing, but bragging about what God is doing through us. We need to have that kind of faith that it's God's doing. When we go back, it needs to be God's timing, it needs to be God's authority, and it needs to be God's power. I am well aware of the fact that at times I've not been a good leader through this. I've made some mistakes in concentrating too much on logistics and how to do it and how to address negativity and how to try to get people to be happy, because they don't like which way we go, either way we go. And I've not been the leader I should be at times in helping us to focus on these three things. I haven't done as well as I should and reminded you that whatever we're facing, it's God's timing. He's in control. And we need to figure out how to step in with Him and do what we need to do. I have not reminded you often enough that we need to look for God's authority in this and see what it is that God commands us to do and what we need to be doing. And I've not stretched us enough as a leader or myself to depend on God's power. I'm planning on restarting that, starting today. I commit myself to a restart in this, to be better at reminding us of these three things. Something that I did right after we came back together. Remember, we had that period of time where we weren't meeting in the building. And we came back together and I was trying to figure out how to make our services. They were going to be different. And there weren't many of us meeting together. And I thought, okay, how can I make that work well for us? And I tried different things. And one of the things I said that we needed to do was to, because we need to be praying for each other. We need to be supporting each other. And I said, let's don't have this idea that I'll end my sermon with an invitation song. And you know, you come up then and you ask for prayers and that sort of thing. But I want you to think about that whole section, that whole block of time from the time I finish my sermon until we have one of our elders get up and do a shepherd's prayer. I want you to think about that as a time to let people know if you have a need. To let people know if you want to be prayed for. Let people know if you want to be identified with us as a member of this congregation. Or if you want to be baptized, that the time to do that is not just during one song. And that's the song that you got to respond to. But that whole block, because I wanted us to see the Lord's Supper as being a time that we respond to each other's needs. That we're the body of Christ. Well, I'll just be honest with you. I got some criticism over that. Some people talked to me about it and they said, you know, I don't like using the Lord's Supper like that. You know, the Lord's Supper is the time we need to concentrate on the death of Jesus, and we don't need to be using that as an invitation, and we don't need to distract from the Lord's Supper by people. Maybe they might come up and ask for prayer during that time, and I just don't like the idea of that. So I backed off of that. I thought, well, I don't want to upset people. I don't want people to feel like, you know, that they're being asked to do something that's against their conscience. And I'll be honest with you, I've repented of that. I believe what I was asking us to do as a church is what we should do. I believe we need it. I believe it's biblical. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 teaches that the Lord's Supper is a time of self-examination. The Lord's Supper is a time when the body takes care of the body. We look out for each other. Paul was getting on to the Corinthians for looking out for self instead of looking out for the needs of the body. Yes, we remember what Jesus did for us, but what we remember also is the fact that what Jesus did causes us to be the body of Christ. And we need to look out after each other. So this morning, I want to restart that. When I close my sermons on Sunday morning, whether I remind you of this or not, it's a time of invitation. And it extends all the way to the time when one of our elders gets up and prays for us. And I would really like to see people take advantage of it. I would love to see people come to that elder or go to the elder that'll be standing in the lobby and say to them, look, I have this need. I want you to pray for me. When you say the prayer, would you pray for me this morning? I'd love to see that happening. I'd love to see that block of time be a time when we become stronger because we look out after each other and we pray for each other and we talk about what we need to talk about. I'd love for that to be a time when there are people who are not a part of our membership, not a part of our church family, will come and tell one of these elders and say, look, I want to be a part of this church. I want to be a part of your restart. Can I be a part of this church family? Would you pray for my family to be a part of this family? I'd love to see people actually, and you don't see this much. We had a baptism this week. You'll hear more about that in a little bit, but wouldn't it be great to see more baptisms? Wouldn't it be great if when I finished the sermon on Sunday morning, we had to take time out to baptize somebody? And that shepherd's prayer at the end of the service was a blessing on them as they are identified as part of our church family as a baptized believer. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be awesome to have that happen? Brothers and sisters, this morning I challenge you. I want to restart, not an invitation song, but a time of encouragement. From the time I finish my sermon to the time when one of our shepherds gets up to pray, that during that period of time, while we're taking our communion, while we're singing, it is a time for us to encourage each other. Because we need it to be the church that restarts, rebuilds, revives, renews. We've got to be a church that supports each other in the process. And it restarts this morning. Doug, will you help us do that?
To be thine.
still nearer while life shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast through endless ages. All right, for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing, "Come Share the Lord." We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Drink the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family of which the anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
Pray with me, please. Dear Lord, we would first of all like to thank you for the time that you've afforded us to come together and share this bread and drink this fruit of the vine, which represents your Son. We take it for granted. And with the COVID pandemic, we found that, we may not always have that opportunity to come together. And it's just so much better when we're able to share this with our brothers and sisters, that we can share your love with each other and to remember your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why we do this. We now take this bread, which represents his body, which hung on that cross and agonizing pain and physically and mentally tore him apart. And he did all that we as sinners could have a chance to have eternal life, that his body took our place, and we're so thankful for that. And as we take of this bread, may we remember him and give praise to God and give praise to Jesus that they were willing to that. And we're sad, but we're so happy. We're so glad that he was able to do that for us. And it's Jesus' please forward this on to our Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord, we come before you again, thanking you for your love, that you would allow your Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon a cross and bleed out for us, that we might have remission of sins. We realize that this fruit of the vine that we take represents the shed blood that washes away our sins, continuously, so we may be a perfect sacrifice for you also. And as we take this fruit of the vine, may we remember this every day throughout our lives. And it's through his name we pray. Amen.
Randall, I probably ought to quit while I'm ahead, but I told somebody I would lead this song the last time I led. It was a request, but I'm really feeling like I probably ought to quit while I'm ahead. Let's all be standing. Once we get the fourth part in, we'll sing all four parts through one more time. After the sopranos come in, love one another, for love is of God. He who loves is born of God.
God is love, God is love, God.
God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy mind. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. For God is love, God is love, God is love. You may be seated.
Thank you, Doug Young. Thank you. That's another reason the elders have a desire to go to one service. If you're a song leader, it's a little selfish to go to one service, but I'm fine. I've prayed about it. I would love to go to one service so we could have all the voices singing together. Appreciate Doug and his talents. David, thank you for the lessons this morning. Visitors, we're thankful that you're here this morning. We know that you had other opportunities to worship elsewhere. Thank you for allowing us to see you smiling face and enjoy your presence this morning. If you're looking for a church home and you're new to Stephenville, we'd love to have you. Don't come here if you think that you're coming to a perfect place. We are imperfect people saved by the grace of God, and we're all trying to get to the same place, okay? Thank you for being here, though, if you're visiting. Those of you that have not been able to obtain vaccines for the COVID, we have some people here in the congregation that are willing to help with that enrollment, whatever that looks like, whether it's a phone number, whether it's the website, whether it's online. If you're having trouble with that, we have people that have a desire to help you with that, to get enrolled and get you taken care of. The eldership has been in prayer. We have been in prayer about trying to get back to one service, and we're going to do it. We're in better shape than we were a few months ago, but we've got to be responsible, and we've got to be considerate of everybody. Small groups start tonight. If you're not involved with one of those, please consider that. Keep in mind, it's been mentioned already, keep in mind the Savine family, Doug and his two daughters, and the loss of Sherilyn. Bruce and Sherry Caraway. Bruce continues to struggle with taking chemo and radiation both, and let's continue to keep them in prayer and in mind for Sherry to continue to be strong. Ricky Cottle answered the prayers. I think last Sunday when we were in church, Ricky Cottle was in ICU. He was dismissed to a room. He has been dismissed, and he is at home now. So praise God for that. Our hearts rejoice. Angels rejoice in heaven. Lindsay Gillespie, granddaughter of Merle Jo Parks, was baptized Friday evening. And that's been a process that's been bathed in prayer for a long time. Merle Jo told me Friday, she said, "I've prayed for my husband for 42 years before he obeyed the gospel." And she had a smile on her face this morning at first service. So we rejoice with that family. We rejoice with the kingdom because another child has come to put on their Lord and Savior in baptism. Be a blessing to somebody this week. As David said, we're restarting. Be a blessing to somebody. Put somebody else's needs ahead of your own. Just put yourself in a position to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life this week and to be a blessing to somebody else. Be safe, be responsible, and let's close with a prayer before our closing song. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege it's ours to be your children and to call you Father. Father, we know that you're the Alpha, you're the Omega. You started this thing and you will finish it. But Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to be steadfast. Help us to stay courageous and not be timid. Father, help us to step into people's lives and be a blessing to them. Father, we thank you for this church family. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the servants, the people that are working day in and day out for your kingdom. Father, help us to be more mindful of those opportunities. Help us to not step away from those opportunities and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us through those things. Father, forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us when we're not the people you need us to be. Father, just help us to be kingdom people this week. Help us to be a blessing to those around us. Father, we pray for the families that's been mentioned. We thank you for answered prayers. But Father, we thank you for those that's went on to their reward. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Help us to see people through the eyes of your Son this week. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.